Yeah, let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can gather around your word. Thank you that by your spirit, you will make it alive to us. Thank you that you have something for each one. I pray that you will, Holy Spirit, that you will quicken your word and that you will show us something more about the heart of God.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm speaking about meditating on God's word, and let's just think about that quickly. Meditating on God's word. Just let it run through your mind. Meditating on God's word. Can you see that there's a time component and a priority component linked to it? It's not rocket science. It's not a trick question. There's a priority component and a time component attached to it. And maybe I must share a bit of my own journey a bit. I struggled with this. I was at Bible school many years ago. I was there 6 years and I still couldn't finish my degree. I struggled with this. I would, when I had to read the Bible, I would fall asleep. I'm just being brutally honest. And then I think, well, maybe I must go and sit in the Bible school director's office. You know, create a bit of a holy moment. And I would fall asleep while he's sitting there doing his work. I'm sitting there reading and I doze off. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. But with time I realized that, look, if I have to play devil, then if I want to withhold something from you, I can't put a gun to your head. I can't pitch up with a pitchfork and horns and a tail and say, hey, I'm the devil. I'm here to steal the word. Then the only thing he has to do is he's surrounded with controversy. And the controversy is, I'm never going to get this into my head. I'm never going to understand it. And by God's grace, I don't know how many years later, I gave up reading the word for years because it made no sense to me. All I got from it was, I can't do this. I'll never get it right. Other people understand it, but somehow not you. And I struggled. This now being a series on spiritual disciplines, I really don't want this to come across as we're just going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and then we're all fixed. It just doesn't work that way. I struggled in church. At one stage, I went through just betrayal, but I knew I had to go to church. So we would go to a church, and I'll sit there 5 minutes. My wife is not here to confirm this, but she won't be able to confirm because I won't tell you everything I said to her. But I'll sit there 5 minutes. I'll tell her I'm gonna leave because this guy's talking nonsense. Because oftentimes what I got from the pulpit is, you need to do this, this, and this, and then you can be as good as I am. So if that is what you get from what I'm sharing today, please come and tell me afterwards, because that's really not what I want to do. I actually want you to see something, and I want it to be encouraging. If we walk out of church and what we heard didn't encourage us, well, then you didn't hear the gospel. Because the gospel actually means good news. If it doesn't come across as good news, you ain't received no good news. Like I said, it's not rocket science. There's a I heard a preacher say, one of his favorite sayings is, when you come to church, bring your brain along. Okay. Just bring your brain along. Okay. And what I've learned is that after Bible reading, that was the first hurdle that where I tripped up. It doesn't make sense to me. I feel too ashamed to ask. I don't want to be exposed as stupid or uninformed. So a lot of believers trip up there, reading the Bible. And then they get that right, and then the next hurdle is meditating on the Word. And it's the two most crucial things in your walk with the Lord. And a lot of people say, well, just give me the Holy Spirit, man. Well, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He wrote it through men. So if the Holy Spirit, if you have a hunger for the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit will break the Word open for you. And there's no way around it. Okay. Let's look at what the Bible says. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Now there's something in the Bible. The clever people will tell you that they call the law first mention. Whenever something is mentioned for the first time in the Bible, it is a major wow. And everything else, every time that topic is referred to again in the Bible, you need to interpret it alongside the first use of it. And this is the first time in the Bible that the word meditate or meditation is mentioned. Now for some of us, meditation... you know, maybe you were exposed to that. A very good friend of mine was into something called Reiki or Reiki-do. And he said to me, after he came out of it, his mind was numb. His mind was lazy because the whole point of that meditation was to empty your mind to think of nothing. But if the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in the day and night, then clearly God's estimation of meditation is to put something in you. Because I'm not talking about this. That is not God's idea of meditation. The enemy took it and corrupted it. Okay. So, meditate in a day and night. Again, there's a time component and priority component. Meditate in a day and night. Why would God make such a big deal about His Word? Why? Well, the Bible consists of two parts. Not a trick question. We call it what? The Old Testament and the? Okay, the old what? And the new what? Okay, what is a testament? Someone's final will and testament. Okay, now the Bible is not a legal document. There's all sorts of genres in there. There's poetry in there. There's pastoral letters in there. There's gospels in there. There's prophecy in there. So if you just take Song of Songs, your teeth is like a flock of sheep. It's certainly not a legal document. Okay. But certain parts of it, God wrote and He bound Himself legally by it. Okay? That's how we got the first five books, the law. Okay, came about through covenant. So, let me illustrate. You have a favorite uncle. You the only, maybe your dad had one brother. And this uncle never married, never had children. You're the only child. So you're the only niece or nephew that he's got. And this uncle happened to be loaded. Okay? And this uncle passes away. You go for the funeral and you're really sad to lose your favorite uncle. And then you get a call from his lawyer. I need you to come and attend the reading of his will. Are you going to go? I'll walk in there with my banking details. I'll run in there with my banking details. Can you just click transfer here? Of course I'm going to go. So if the Bible is God's final will and testament, we are called to the reading of his final will and testament. The fine print is that you're going to read it yourself, but okay? You get what I'm saying? What about God? So for a final will and testament to come into effect, there must be someone that's got something to give away. He must beg, and he must name you. Okay. What about God? Well, there's been a death. The Bible calls Jesus the firstborn amongst many brethren. That makes you family. Okay? Accept it. As your obut. He passed away. And you've been named in God's final will and testament. Alright? So, let's dig into Joshua 1 verse 8 a bit more. You shall meditate in the day and night that you... hang on. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's a bit odd. But you shall meditate in the day... So is meditation a verbal action or a mental action? Both. It's actually both. The word that is translated meditate there is the Hebrew word called hagar. Let me just check that I'm not telling you stories. Hagar, yeah. And it means to utter. It means to muse, to speak. Now, I didn't know what the word muse mean. Okay, so I went to look it up. And it means to consider something thoughtfully. But included in that is to mutter it. In Afrikaans, prevel. Prevel. That's meditation. But you shall meditate in the day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. So, if you read from verse 1, you will see that he mentions, be strong and of good courage or courageous. I mean, courageous comes from the word courage, hello? Yeah? He mentions that 3 times. Then, the word prosper or prosperous is mentioned twice. And good success is mentioned once. When is Joshua receiving this instruction from the Lord? He's just about to take the promised land. Moses has... I heard a very good expression this week. Moses het die lepel in die dak gesteek. Profound. I heard it from Kobus. I love it. Moses het gepek. Okay. And here's Joshua. And Joshua's got no clue about military. I mean, he stayed at the tent of meeting when Moses went to go. Then Joshua, you're going to stay here. Okay. And now he's going to lead a nation. So God is telling him, listen, but you are going to take this promised land. You're going to conquer. You're going to do some pretty awesome stuff. But I need you to be strong and courageous. Without that, your way, your journey won't be prosperous. And without that, you will not have good success. But before we get to the good success is the meditation part. Then, verse 8. Okay? I went to look up the word good success. It's actually the word prudent. I didn't know what it mean. So I went to go and look it up. Prudent means acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Now just think about that a bit. God wants us to act with or showing care and thought for the future. Now, that actually means making better decisions. Okay? Now, I don't want to talk about sin, but the question that came to mind is, all the stuff that I struggled with, could I have bypassed some of it if I made better decisions? Obviously, I could have. So, obviously, I missed out on a certain part of God's good success for me. Is it because I didn't meditate in the Word? Well, Joshua 1 verse 8 certainly suggests it. Okay, so, and so this is not an attempt to show you where you fall short. You know where you fall short. We all know that. And we get so discouraged that you reach a place where you say, I'm not going to read this book anymore. That was me. So if you're in a place where you think, I know I need to come to church, the Bible must be true, but it doesn't make sense to me, just take courage. There's a way. Okay? So, I'm still in Joshua 1 verse 8. You will make your journey prosperous. I didn't like that. Because I've been so Bible bashed with people telling me that I must do this and I must do that and give me a 10-point plan, and if it doesn't work, well then there's something wrong with you. But the good news is, what I want to share here is, if we just get the Word in and we spend a bit of time meditating on it, you will automatically make your way prosperous. So I'm not coming from the angle, yalla klomp, yalla fail. I want to show you why we get tripped up. And it's a simple, there's a simple way to fix it. Okay? But there's a promise. Prudence, good success. In other words, if I get the Word in and I spend time meditating in it, then I will start acting and think in a way with care for my future. It will happen automatically. So don't put the onus on yourself to make this happen. Don't start with a good success. Whatever your age is, and I don't have enough to show for my life. Don't start there. You will end up getting frustrated. Start where the Lord says we need to start, and that's just getting the Word in. There's no other way. There's no substitute for the Word. It's His final will and testament. And the Holy Spirit that's the author of the Word will break it open for you. I want to make a big statement. Right believing leads to right living, not the other way around. Right living is a byproduct of right believing. It's not the other way around. The problem is my living or my life is very obvious when I missed it, because everyone can see it or hear it. And so we want to cover our embarrassment. I need to fix what I've just messed up. The way you fix it is to just get into the Word. Just get into the Word. God's not done with you yet. Just get into the Word. But we want to, how on earth did I do this? Well, you didn't experience good success in that area. In other words, no prudence. You didn't act thoughtfully, caring about the future, because you didn't spend time meditating on the word, because you didn't get it in. It's a simple solution. How does it work? Okay, I don't know if it's going to cooperate now. You can go to the next. Ah, it does. Okay. So, again, what we allow into our minds, into our eye and ear gates, will determine what we think and meditate on, will determine what we believe, will determine what we speak or proclaim and do and feel. So don't confuse meditation with proclaiming the word or speaking the word. You'll see there, speak and proclaim. That comes later. We're now concerned with thinking and meditating. Romans 10:17, next bullet, Billy, thank you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's an odd way to write it, hearing and hearing. The reason is the translators couldn't find the... There's no proper word in English to translate it with. It says, listen to the word and keep on listening. There's no point in saying, oh, I've heard the story of grace, I've got that. No, you need to hear it and you need to keep on hearing it. In I think it's in Lystra, when Paul was preaching, there was a guy that was lame in his feet. And Paul was preaching, and it says that this guy was listening, but the word that they translated as listening is this word, listening and listening. So he heard it, and he kept on hearing. Either they carried him around as Paul moved around, or Paul was preaching in the amphitheater, and his mates or someone put him down there, and Paul would preach, and the crowd dispersed, and the new light come in, and Paul preached again, and this guy stayed. But he heard and kept on hearing. At one stage, Paul, seeing that he had faith to get healed, Paul said, stand up, and he leapt to his feet. So he simply listened to the word. That's all he did. He listened to the word. You can't produce it yourself. You can't produce your miracle. What happened in the Gospels? Jesus preached, they came to hear and be healed. They came to hear and be healed. Your miracle is a byproduct of what you're listening to. It's simple. It is not a 10-point plan. And you need to tick all the boxes. And at the end of the 10-point plan, you come up short and you feel like a failure. Just stop. Didn't work for me. It took 20 years of my life. I'm not lying to you. It took 20 years of my life. Some books that I was supposed to read through the years, I'm probably only ready to read it now. Because I will now be able to take that information and not take it as, look, you fail here, you fail here, you fail here, you fail here, you fail here. I threw self-help books in the trash. Presents that people gave me. Luckily, they're not here, so. But there was me. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart. I must tell you this. Friday, I hurt my back. I couldn't lift my hand to put a cup in the cupboard without pain shooting through my back, and I have to grab the counter. And I think, I'm preaching on Sunday. How's this going to work? And you won't believe the amount of negativity that I've had to dealt with from Friday until this morning. Because the word is getting challenged. So, what portion of my time did I spend meditating on junk? Well, probably like a chunk. But that's how the enemy works. He plays a trick on you and he gets you to agree with it. Just stop it. It's not your thought. He will put a thought in your mind in the first person. I'm not going to make it. And you say, yeah, I'm not going to make it. And only then,
was that me?
Stalball. But that's the oldest trick in the book and we fall for it. Okay. Next one. Faith without works is dead. Another verse that I hated because I didn't have the works. They say my faith without works is dead. I think, well, I can't produce the works. So, but it says there, faith without works is dead. But I just want to say, works without faith is just as dead. So don't start with the works. Start with the faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the? That God in the Greek is actually translated Christ. It's the word of Christ. It's the gospel. Because the Ten Commandments is also the word of God. But I can promise you, meditating on the Ten Commandments brought me no success. It just showed me how useless I am. So get into the good news about Jesus Christ. The fact that you are loved. The fact that you are accepted. The fact that it has been paid for. The fact that he said on the cross, it is finished. You know, in the Old Testament, the wrath consumed the sacrifice. The story of Mount Carmel, where Elijah built the altar, and like came with a chopper with, you know, this guys from that fight the fires, and it's all wet. When he prayed and God lit the sacrifice, it consumed everything. The wrath was always bigger than the sacrifice. What happened at the cross? Jesus consumed everything. He consumed the wrath of God on my behalf, on your behalf. And then he said, it is finished. The sacrifice was greater than the wrath. So it is paid. I don't care. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. It has been paid for. It is finished. Stop beating yourself up. Okay, you're actually talking about meditating on the word. Okay, walking out your faith. Works resulting from faith. So this is how it works. What you get into your mind will determine what you think, what you meditate on, what you believe, what you speak, what you do, what you feel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, and everything else that I've mentioned here now. But you cannot walk out your faith if you want to start on the work side, because you feel embarrassed that I'm still struggling with this, and it seems like I'm in great... Well, if that is where you're at, then that is where you're at. It's okay. So just, we need to get rid of our own self-image, pride. I'm a bit of a fake, so I pretend. Please just don't do it. It took 20 years of my life. Next one, please. How does it work in the spirit realm? And what has the spiritual realm got to do with my meditation? Pretty much. So Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his, what? Word. It doesn't say, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who does God's commands. It says who does his word. So can I speak God's word? I can. So read that verse again. What does it say? If I speak God's word, they get going. They get cracking. Hebrews 1:14. Speaking of the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? To minister for those, not to those, for. On your behalf. In your stead. So if you add these two verses together, if I speak the word, the angels get cracking. They minister on my behalf the word of God. That's how God's will gets established in my life. Okay? Now, I don't want to talk about demons. That's the next bullet. But we are going to talk about demons. What were they before they became demons? They're angels. They're fallen angels, but they're angels. How do they operate? Did they all of a sudden get a different motherboard when they got chucked out on the trash heap? They're still wired the same. They function in the same way. So, if you speak negativity, who are you giving work? Sure. The wrong guys. This shows you how little authority the enemy has got. He has to latch onto your authority to do something in your life. So if we can fix what goes in here, fix what happens here, fix what we believe, fix what we speak, they will have nothing in you. Yeah. Okay, next bullet. Ephesians 6, the armor of God. I call it the Jesus suit. You a helmet off? Who's your salvation? Shield off? Who do you believe in? Jesus. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Who's the Word? Jesus. John chapter 1. Girdle of? Ja, jy wil hê jou broek moet afval, laat ek baie net op jou optrek. Girdle of truth. Who's the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus. Shoes of readiness? To preach the? About who?
Jesus.
It's a Jesus suit. So picture this. Medieval soldier, clad in armor. When he drops that visor, and he speaks the word of God, Satan doesn't know whether it's you or Jesus. Sure. Until he starts talking nonsense. I'm going to get on his case. Come with a screwdriver and try to wedge something open here. He doesn't know. Okay, he does. But he can't do anything about it. Because you're standing in whose authority? It's Jesus' authority. So we need to fix this, but we can't fix this. We need to fix what happens here. Okay. Stinking thinking. Okay, next slide. Getting started. Can I meditate on something I don't know? No, we can't. We need to get the word in large quantities. So let's talk about the priority and time component. My kids are in El Shaddai. My wife teaches there, and every year they've got the cycle race, which everyone that lives in Durban will hate. Simple fixer yes for me. Okay. So when you register your kids with what's your word? Register. Enroll your kids at El Shaddai. You sign a form that says, I acknowledge that the 99ers cycle race is our main fundraiser, because then they don't waste your time with a cook for kooping and a cook sister kida. It's lekker. It's one fundraiser a year. But you say that I will help. As a parent, I will help, and you sign.
And then come 99er, we're in need of another 20 marshals. We think, where the hell are the parents? They never made it a priority. They will only treat it as a priority if they make it a priority. Same with the word. We will only treat it as a priority if we make it a priority. So, just think a bit. Think about your day. Is there any time wasting that you can just make one or two small tweaks and you have... I mean, don't say I'm going to start with an hour. You're setting yourself up for failure. Just start with five. I'm assuming we're reading our Bibles now, okay? If you're not there, don't worry. The principle is the same. Start with 5 minutes. Pick a verse that speaks to you. And you speak it and you meditate on it. And you mutter it. Put it on your car, on your sun visor, wherever. Write it with Tippex on your mirror. Whatever works for you. But start with 5 minutes and gradually increase it. Don't say, I'm going to do it for an hour. That's just unrealistic. Okay? A while ago, my family and I went through absolute hell with a family member. Those who know me knows all about it. And I felt like I could choke someone. And my wife got verses, took a few verses on love, on 2x4 cards, and she laminated it, and she stuck it on alternate towels in her bathroom. And when I sit in the loo, it's all I can see. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is kind. She ambushed me. And it worked. Do whatever. Gina writes a shopping list on her kitchen cupboards with a whiteboard marker. And she can just wipe it off again. You can do the same. Do whatever works for you. But we need to get the word in. Get a reading plan. Whatever. What if I fail? You cannot fail. Because this is not a test. You're still busy learning. So you just pick a scripture and meditate. Say, I'm going to meditate on this for a day or two. What if it only lasts for half a day? So what? Just have another go. Pick another scripture. Just have another go. Quick. Psalm 103. The next slide, Bennett. Read with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all His benefits, who forgives every one of all my iniquities, who heals each one of all my diseases. Next slide. Who redeems my life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth, my necessity and desire, and my personal age and situation with good, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle, strong, overcoming, and soaring. That's what you do. You just take the pronouns out and put your name in there. Take Psalm 103. Take Psalm 91. Whatever. That's how we start. Now, some of you may say to me, Isaac, that's all, this wonderlik, but you don't know what I have to deal with. You're right, I don't know. You don't know the fact that I'm here is a miracle. I'm glad. But you're putting too much on me because the guilt is consuming me and the condemnation is killing me. I want to read to you, Bennett, you can put the next slide up. Ephesians 5. Now, it speaks about husbands and blah, 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 but we have to slog through that to get to verse 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Who does the sanctifying? Who does the cleansing? You. No, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. That's me. Through the washing of the water of the word. You don't sanctify yourself. You just need to pitch. And so I'm going to read this thing. He does it. And that word, washing of the water of the word, is the word rhema. That is the living word. The Bible is logos. It's the written word. But if you spend time in it, the Holy Spirit will make it rhema to you. You will make it alive. So if that is you, I need you, Kobus is going to give opportunity now, and you need prayer because you feel browbeat and you feel trodden down and you need a bit of encouragement. I want you to take courage in this. It's the word that will wash you, not you. Do you bath before you get in the shower? Dan is Cynthia, jy kan is goed groot gemaak. Jesus is your bath. Just get in. Don't try to get clean before you come to him. Just come. He will clean, he will sanctify you, he will wash you. Just get into the word. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can read it. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's our reminder. He's our strengthener. And I pray that you will birth in us a hunger for the word. Thank you that you take us where we're at, and you take us where you want us to be. Take our hand, and you lead the way. Amen.